serving the Space Coast with the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You are tuned in to 1510 AM, WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the Beaches, FM 94.7.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church. Along with my associate pastor, Darren Solana, we greet you here today. Happy Wednesday to you. It's hump day already. Thanks for joining us here today on this Wednesday. Thank you for spending 30 minutes of your Wednesday here with us as we together are going to sit under the authority of the Word of God. The Word of God today is going to take us to the little one-chapter book of 2 John, and it's a sermon I've been preaching. I try to preach it every couple of years, and I have for some 10 years now, and it's entitled The Doctrine of Christ, where John says, and it gives us this serious warning, where he says, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. So the natural question is, well, what is it? What is the doctrine of Christ so I can make sure that I'm abiding under it? That's what we're going to look at here today. Seven absolute guaranteed surefire things you must believe about the Son of God. And he says, if you don't, then you don't have God. So that's where we're at here today. I invite you guys to church tonight where my associate pastor is in the book of 2 Thessalonians, and he will be teaching from there from chapter 2 tonight, 6 o'clock. So if you guys are tuned into the 5:30 rebroadcast, you've got 28 minutes to make it to church tonight. We will be looking at Bible prophecy. Specifically, this chapter is the rapture of the church and a letter that Paul wrote because the people were deceived by someone thinking that they had missed that. And he gives a list of things that has to happen first. That's where he's at here tonight. We would love to see you. 6 o'clock, join us in person. Join us on Facebook. That feed will turn on right at 6 o'clock if you're unable to make it. We would love to see you, though, in person. Island Community Church is at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. 6 tonight, 10:30 on Sunday. Sunday we'll be back in Acts. Here today, though, is my sermon from Sunday, The Doctrine of Christ. The Doctrine of Christ is where we're at today. Or another title for this could be Deny the Supernatural, End Up in Hellfire. It's that time of year once again where I get to preach my all-time favorite sermon, the most important sermon that a pastor could ever preach is the doctrine or the teaching of Christ. Now, I want to show you today how important that this is. That is, how important it is of what you believe about Jesus and how important that is. Let's pray before we get started. Lord, we come to you once again in the name of Jesus and in the power of his name. Lord, we devote this next 50 minutes here to you. Lead us and guide us by your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray you speak to 55 people in here, 55 different things. Speak to those that are going to listen on the radio. Speak to those that are watching on Facebook. Speak to those that are going to watch the sermon on YouTube. Reveal the truth to us. We're truth seekers. Speak to us where we know that you speak. We're tuning into your frequency here now, WGOD. We listen for your voice. Bless this time now, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. Again, I want to show you how important this is what you believe about Jesus is and the consequences for not believing. The doctrine of Christ. Now, if you notice, there's seven blanks on your handout here today. Some of you probably already have this tucked in your Bible. I'm glad that you do. From the last time I preached it, it's been 2 years since the last time I preached it. So it's kind of like a statement of faith. At least it ought to be a statement of faith that you'd find at a church. You'll find it in our church. I should know. I wrote it and I put it up on the website. I'm kind of what you'd call a stickler for Jesus, and I make no qualms about that or apologize for it. Now, if you would please, though it's on the handout, if you want, we're looking really at one main verse here today, the short chapter of 2 John chapter 1, is only one chapter, or chapter 1165 in your Bible. 2 John, verse 9. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. Ouch! Could that possibly mean what it says? He who transgresses and doesn't abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. Then he says, he who abides in the doctrine of Christ, this one has both the Father and the Son. So, what does that mean? Am I guilty of this? Here it is again from an easier to understand translation. Anyone who disregards, like throw it away like an old towel or anyone who disregards this teaching has no relationship with God. So don't kid yourself. What you believe is important. That's what he's trying to get through to you here today so far. What you believe about Jesus matters and it's important. So anyone who disregards this teaching has no relationship with God. But anyone who remains in the teaching of Christ has a relationship with both the Father and the Son. Now, this Greek word for transgress means to disregard, just like this other translation I just read to you. Anyone who disregards this teaching about Christ does not have God, or at least they don't have a relationship with God. I mean, how could you? You might have a one-sided relationship with God, but if you believe that his Son was a sinner, then you really don't have any relationship with God. Don't even bother singing the songs. Because if you're right, then you're wrong. If you're right, you're wrong. If Jesus is a sinner, if you're right, then you're wrong. You've wasted your time. I surrender all. You're not going to surrender all to Aunt Edna, are you? She can't die for you. Edna's blood is tainted. So is mine. It matters what you believe about Jesus. If you don't believe he died and rose again, then not only do you not have a relationship with God, but you're not a Christian either. Because as we're about to see, believing in the resurrection is part of the faith, and it is required of you. You must believe that after you die, you will live on. You must not deny the supernatural. So with that knowledge, the next logical question would be then, well, what then is the doctrine of Christ, right? Now, I'm glad you guys asked that question. Let's take a look at that question and the answer as well. What is the doctrine of Christ? Don't have to split the atom here. This is easy to understand. I've organized this into 7 points. And again, look how important these are. Look at all the consequences that hang on the pastor to assure he accurately teaches this doctrine of Christ. Because look at the end result if you don't believe. That is, you don't have God, or you don't have a relationship with God, which is why every year or thereabouts, I preach some kind of version of this sermon. All right, here we go. Point number one on your handout. So I'll give you all seven and where to go in the Bible to read what I'm preaching to you here today. So please write these down. There will be a quiz someday. Boy, you poor kids and young adults, you guys just can't get away from it, can you? School hasn't even started yet. We're already working on quizzes. Can't catch a break. Number one. Now, if you've already memorized these, then I thank you, because that's one more crown for me, which I will then lay at the feet of the Savior, because they're all His. He's worthy of all of them. But if you remember all these because of something that I've preached before, praise God. I'm glad. I'm glad you've already remembered these. Number one, Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. Again, these references are all on his handout. Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. Matthew 1, 21. She will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus. And he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin will be with child and bear a son, and you will call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Why is this so vitally important? Well, because if Christ is not born of a virgin, if the nature of Christ was not supernatural, but just everyday ordinary, then Christ was born with a sin nature like you. And if you believe that, then I've got some bad news for you today, and that is a sinner can't save you from your sins. So this is non-negotiable. Even King David said, Psalm 51, verse 5, he said, in sin my mother conceived me. Not so with Jesus. In the old covenant, they offered sacrifice year after year after year in anticipation of the perfect sacrifice of the Son of God, who by one offering, the Bible says, perfected forever those that are being sanctified. So again, Jesus is born of a virgin. He has a supernatural nature to him. He is the Son of Man as well as the Son of God. If you don't believe this doctrine, then you don't believe in the doctrine of Christ, and according to the Bible, you don't have God. And I'll declare to you that you're not a Christian. It matters what you believe. Your Savior is perfect, and He's holy, and He's without sin. And it matters that you believe that. Which leads us to number two. Jesus Christ lived a sinless life. He did not sin. Verses on the handout. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who can't sympathize with us or with our weaknesses, but he was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Or 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, for he, that's the Father, made him, that's the Son, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Wow, of all the things you can make, right? You can make breakfast. You can make time for something. You can make payroll. You can make amends. You can make atonement. You can make good. But what was Jesus made? He was made sin. How ugly is that? How ugly is that? Jesus Christ knew no sin. He never sinned. If he had sinned, then his sacrifice was worthless, and his blood was just as tainted as yours and mine. Again, a sinner cannot atone for your sins. Only the perfect man, and that with his own blood. So it can't be God. It's got to be someone with blood. It's what a quagmire and a predicament that is. You got to be perfect. That means it's got to be God, but yet he's got to have blood. Because without the shedding of blood, the Bible says, there's no forgiveness of sin. Someone has to die to pay the price for our sins. There's only one that can do that. His name's Jesus. That's why we're here today. We're here to praise his holy name here today. He's without sin. The judge, Pontius Pilate, he declared it. He said, I can find no sin in this man. The executioner declared it and said, this is a righteous man. Even they knew it. Okay, number three. Who's got it already on their handout? Linda, what's number three? God took a body. God took a body. Perhaps my favorite one on this list. So easy to seemingly make nothing of it. God took a body. How could that matter in my everyday life? What does that have any significance to do with anything? We're going to see now the consequences for not believing this. Watch how dangerous this is, okay? This doctrine is saying that the man Christ Jesus who lived 2,000 years ago is God. That's what I mean by this point, God took a body. Scripture verses, Philippians chapter 2, verse 8. Speaking of Jesus, it says, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Or this, John chapter 1, verse 14, it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. All right, so there's two proofs of this so far, right? Philippians 2, 8, John chapter 1, verse 14. Now my favorite is 1 Timothy 3:16. That says this. Without controversy, that means it's not even up for argument's sake. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. He was justified in the spirit, that is, yep, you the man. Justified in the spirit. He was seen by angels, right? There he is. Scoop. Preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and then whoop, received up into glory. Without controversy. Do you guys believe that? That's really is what all this boils down to today, is do you believe the Word of God? God took a body. Listen to what the Bible says about God taking a body. 1 John chapter 4, verse 2, it says, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit, that's the spirit in a man, because you can't talk to Casper over here or an invisible ghost because you can't see them. And I encourage you, don't have conversations with them either. It's the spirit in a person, the spirit in you, You all got something that's going to leave this world when you die. It's the Spirit on the inside of you. By this you know the Spirit of God, Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. Listen to this. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and is now already in the world. See, this Jew-hating spirit is already out here in this world today. Evidenced in a lot more people than what I believe, for I read this. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. Those that deny the Messiah has already come in the flesh. This is the spirit of Antichrist, he says. Every spirit that does not believe that God took a body has been infected with the spirit of Antichrist. So I have to ask, and I do ask, whose DNA do you have? Whose ever you have will dictate what you do and what you won't do. I say Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Do you guys believe that? You see, what you believe is vitally important. True Christianity is not a cafeteria-style faith. There's no pushing your tray down the aisle. You know, I'll have some of this, please. Imagine all the spiritual carbs we would end up on our... It'd be full of spiritual Twinkies. There'd be no broccoli on that plate, and you know it. Right? Think about it. I'll take a whole lot of love, fill up my plate with some love. I'll take a lot of forgiveness, fill up my plate full of mercy, right? You know what? I'll take a heaping helping of some joy this morning. But I ain't submitting, so don't even say that to me. Because I'm dieting from lordship. I'm fasting from what? Lordship. I'm fasting from doing what he says. That would be spiritual broccoli to me, right? I'm fasting. Do you see now how perilous this position is for the millions of Jews who believe this way, or for people who reject the Messiah? You need to know what you believe about Jesus Christ because it's important. Believe the wrong thing about Jesus, and before you know it, you're walking around with the spirit of Frankenstein monster here on the inside of you. So it does matter what you believe about Jesus, as we can see here. What you don't believe can lead to catastrophic consequences. All right, back to point number 3. God took a body. Why? Why did he take a body? Hebrews 5, verse 8. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to everyone who obeys him. There's the answer. And this, 2 Corinthians 5:19. God was in Christ, reconciling the world back to himself. That is, I'll take you. I'll even take you. Reconciling the world back to himself. This is why he took a body. Someone had to pay the price for these sins. Someone has to pay the price because Paul Esposito is a sinner. And thank God, enter in the Son of God, who says, you know what, Pastor Paul? I'll take you. I will exchange my righteousness for your sins. What a good deal, huh? That's all you have to do is believe that. You can't buy that. You can't leave money in the offering plate for that. You receive it. You believe it and you receive it. And as we're going to find out, you can't receive that without the Son of, without Almighty God giving that to you, as we're going to find out here in a minute. Why did God take a body? Isaiah 53, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. That is, you have peace because the Son of God died in your place. and exchange that, right? That's Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Having been justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. All you got to do is receive Him, God bless you, as your Lord. End of that verse there, Isaiah 53, he says, we have turned every one of us to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So Jesus Christ took on a body so that God could place all of the sins of mankind since Adam and Eve on his son and on his body while he hung on the cross and bled and died. Jesus was made to be sin. He took on a body so that he could atone for your sins and pay your penalty. All right, these are the doctrines of Christ. Let's move on to number 4 here. So far, we've proved the point over how important these are, right? Number 4. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Again, non-negotiable. Mark 3:11, unclean spirits, that's demons. When the demons saw him, they fell down before him and they cried out saying, you are the Son of God. Matthew 16:13, the Lord Jesus asked the Apostle Peter one day, he says, who do you say that I am? Peter answered, you're the Christ, you're the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. That means you're not going to believe Jesus is the Son of God because I'm telling you. You're going to believe he's the Son of God because God himself has given that to you. Why is this non-negotiable? Because Jesus is the Son of God. Demons know it. The Holy Spirit declares it. Angels announce it. Anything less is demonic. He's not the son of another. He's the Son of God. Therefore, he is God. Thomas said to him, John 20:28, he said, my Lord and my God. And you have to know it and believe it like Peter did. Again, because that knowledge comes from above. If you don't believe it, then you're not a Christian because you haven't received this knowledge. If you don't believe Jesus is the Son of God, you're not a Christian. Right?
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Welcome to Breakpoint, a daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. If free or subsidized groceries sound like a great idea, it's not. According to Eric Patterson, president of the Victims of Communism Museum and Memorial Foundation, a new project by New York Mayor Zoran Mondani reveals just what is ultimately wrong with democratic socialism. Here's Dr. Patterson.
New York's mayor, self-proclaimed democratic socialist Zoran Mondani, promised low-cost groceries, subsidized rent, free public transportation, an army of new social workers, and other freebies as a candidate. This summer, the public is carefully eyeing his plan to impose big box state-funded grocery stores across New York. How should we have